It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Indeed, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. It is Wednesday, and that means that it is Wings Day at Hooters Restaurants. And for dine-in, and they have five locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Loveland, and Colorado Springs. And on Wednesdays, for to-go and dine-in, it's not valid on delivery. If you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. And I love their smoked wings. They have Texas barbecue rub on them. They are just delicious. And when I have the girls over, I normally order Hooters wings, and they are a big hit. So for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. And treat yourself today. Steve, it's Wednesday.
Yes, it is. And I'm sitting here thinking about what you just said about having the wings from Hooters at your event. I went to one of those events on a Wednesday night. I never got close to the table, so I can't vouch for them.
That's for sure. That's one of the reasons why you couldn't get close to the table.
Yes.
Because
okay.
We had those there. Thank you to each of you for listening. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Live with intention and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to the team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. We've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be going through some headlines in the first and second segment. And then we'll be talking with Kathleen Scamma from the Western Energy Alliance about all of the executive orders and actions that are being taken by the Biden administration, which really is going to hurt everyday hardworking people. It's going to increase energy costs for us to heat our homes, for us to drive our cars. And I think a lot of people don't even realize all the products that are made from petroleum that has some petroleum in it. Patty had mentioned it to me after we saw the CEO of VF Corp. This was back in December, which they are the parent corp of Smart Wool Socks and North Face Garments, that in fact they would not sell to Innovex, which is oil services company, sell their products to them for Christmas gifts that Innovex was going to be giving to their employees. And to Patty's point, when you take a look at all of the things that have some petroleum in them, North Face, certainly we think about that, and we think about outdoors, skiing. Well, when you ski, your skis have some petroleum-based products in it, as well as the helmet that you're going to wear. Of course, the garments that North Face is making, many of the puffy coats, they have petroleum in them. Your cell phone, your computers. And quite frankly, if there are those people that are so bent on not using any petroleum products, why don't they just quit using them? Don't drive their car. Don't use their phone. Don't use their computer. Don't ski. Don't do all the things that have petroleum in them, because petroleum-based products have made our lives better. And this war on fossil fuels is it's actually going to, I think, reduce our quality of life if they're successful in this, Steve.
Well, we say what are the basic rights, the pursuit of happiness, everything you just said. Why don't they just stay at home? Why don't they stop doing this, doing that? I say, well, that's my right to pursue my own pursuit of happiness.
I think the thing about it is they want to do that stuff, but they don't want you to do that. And
does that happen? Like, does John Kerry jet around on his own private jet? Is that what you're telling me?
I am telling you that.
Oh.
The hypocrisy of it all is actually, and the other thing is just energy and independence, what it does for our security. And the fact that with energy independence, Donald Trump was nominated for 3, if not 4 different times for the Nobel Peace Prize. And he is a president that did not get us into any new wars. And within the last 2 weeks, Joe Biden has moved troops into Syria already. And we see that China is kind of rattling their swords as well. And energy independence is, it saves lives. And anyway, we're going to be talking with Kathleen Scamma in segments 3 and 4 about this. It is so important that we have freedom of thought, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly. These things that are enshrined in our Constitution, we see such an assault on those. And freedom of speech, independent voices is so important, particularly during this time. We are one of those independent voices. We'd appreciate it if you would partner with us and go to our website and contribute to help us continue this very, very important work. We'll be talking with Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group here in just a little bit, as well as Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. My friends, when you're talking with, and we have to engage in these conversations, and we have to be searching for truth and clarity. And we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should you do not need to have force to implement it. And our quote for today is from Mark Twain. And the quote at the end of the show is a beautiful quote by Mark Twain, but he's also a humorist. And he was born in 1835, and he died in 1910. He was a humorist, journalist, lecturer, novelist who acquired international fame for his travel narratives, especially The Innocents Abroad, which was written in 1869, Roughing It in 1872, and Life on the Mississippi in 1883, and for his adventure stories of boyhood, especially The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, which he wrote in 1876, and The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, which he wrote in 1885. And this is what he said: politicians and diapers must be changed often, and for the same reason. I'm going to say we need to throw in politicians and bureaucrats need to be changed often. In fact, we need to start to work on getting rid of some of these bureaucrats. This administrative state is looking so onerous. We need to be electing representatives that are going to roll back this administrative state here that we have going on. My friends, when we're talking with people, we need to ask these questions: what, why, when, how, where, and who. And of course, Rudyard Kipling has said that that those are the questions that we really need to be asking. He was born in 1865, died in 1936. So everything's the same. Every generation is the same. We just have to continue to engage in this battle of ideas out there. First thing that I wanted to go to, go ahead.
Point of order, is that parliamentary rule, is that what they say? Point
I think
of order?
So.
You know, after my little on-air, you know, lack of optimism yesterday, I'm wondering, would you consider changing the name of the show?
To what?
Friends of Winnie the Pooh. You can be Tigger, and I'll be Eeyore.
I was thinking about that yesterday. You were having a morning for sure.
I think it was a little, you know, call it hangover from Monday. I don't know. Continue.
Well, it's a bit daunting on what is happening. And I guess the first thing I'd like to mention is I think we all know that Nancy Pelosi, and they're now calling it Nancy's Wall, around the People's House, the United States Capitol. And I saw a video of it. I looked at it last night. And it is a wall. And apparently those people that don't think we need a wall down at the southern border think that they need to have a wall around the People's House in Washington, D.C. And it has razor wire around the top. And I never thought that I would live to see the day that we would actually put a wall around the People's House. And interestingly enough, though, the day that January 6th that they were certifying, or whatever the word is, the electoral votes, and we knew that there would be several senators and House of Representatives that were going to challenge some of these electoral votes, and actually they were going to ask for a little bit more time to take a look at that. And, of course, that was the day of the Trump rally. And then we had an eyewitness account that was at the rally. She said it was very peaceful. There was probably anywhere from 350,000 to a half million people there. Very peaceful. It was festive. And she did go to the Capitol. And she said once she got to the Capitol, she said there were only like 8 Capitol police there. And they kind of moved the fence and kind of invited people in. Now, can you believe that the day that they're taking that vote, when they think that maybe something might happen, they only had 8 Capitol police and they moved the fence. But now what is this? Just not even hardly 3 weeks later, we have a wall around the Capitol with razor wire at the top. It seems like that maybe that might have been a day that Nancy should have had a little more security.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. And again, I can't remember the quote now. Rahm Emanuel
let a good crisis go to waste.
There is a classic example. All right, they made a crisis on January 6th, and they look down the road and say, oh my gosh, the inauguration is coming on the 20th. We better do something. Bingo, there goes that fence, that very heavy-duty fence, which, could turn into a wall. You would have thought that after the 20th that would disappear.
But one would think so.
They took advantage of the situation, and now it's here.
Well, the other thing that our eyewitness had mentioned, and that is that when she got down to the Capitol, that there were a number of people there that were dressed all in black, that had helmets, and they had milk, which mitigates tear gas, apparently, very thick wooden sticks, as well as gas masks. And how is that I've never seen anybody in any of these Trump rallies ever show up in that kind of garb? And they did actually arrest one of those people, and this person had Antifa ties. My understanding is that person has been released. But something isn't matching up, but yet the narrative that they have out there all the time is that this was a riot instigated by Trump supporters. There were Trump supporters that did go into the Capitol. But I think we need to delve a little bit more into who were these people that were dressed in black. So we'll continue to ask those questions. On the line with me, though, is a great partner. I get to work with just really terrific people. And Lauren Levy, who is the owner of Polygon Financial Group, is one of those great partners of both The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
What's going on with interest rates?
They are holding steady, just what we were hoping for. Not much has happened, and so we're just moving on. People are taking advantage of the opportunity to refinance, and if they can find a home in this market, have some good buying power with low rates.
As we are looking at all this printing of money, Lauren, we continue to hear the word inflation. Interest rates go up during an inflationary period, correct?
Normally, yes, they do. The only difference between, we have the Fed backstop in the mortgage market that you and I have talked about, and that's the key. And if you start to hear that the Federal Reserve is starting to back out of buying mortgage-backed securities, you'll start to see rates move higher. But for now, they are the primary buyer, and so they are helping to keep mortgage rates down. And, Congress is talking about this next stimulus, but it hasn't passed and hasn't, that $1.9 trillion hasn't rolled out yet. So we're not seeing so much of that yet.
Okay. And I really want to take a look at what's in that stimulus. Because the last stimulus the stimulus that was presented by the Democrats had a lot of stuff that didn't really do anything for American citizens or America. I haven't really had a chance to take a look at that. Have you seen anything on that yet, Lauren?
I have not seen the inside of it yet because I don't know that they've agreed. And, there's a lot of talk about making it smaller or how they're going to handle it. And so once they agree, maybe we'll get to see it. But I have not seen the inside of it yet, no.
Okay. So at this point, if you've not refinanced, make sure you do not procrastinate, because these interest rates, this is something that, in a way, I think could be a little bit of a buffer to inflation if you can get something locked in at a low rate right now, and that will remain steady for the life of your mortgage. It'll save you thousands of dollars, and that seems like that's a great little buffer to inflation. Lauren, what do you think?
I agree 100%. I mean, it's amazing to see when People have, you know, in Colorado, homes are expensive, so people have some large mortgages, and the payments they're getting with these low rates is kind of amazing. And it's really helpful to see people saving, you know, $200-$400 a month on the payments. But we're doing it every day.
Okay, and if people want to take advantage of this, Lauren, how can they reach you?
The best way is to call 303-880-8881. Or they can go to the website, polyfigroup.com. Either one will work, and we'll get a hold of them.
And again, that number is 303-880-8881. Lauren, thank you so much, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll continue with some headlines and then Kathleen Scamma at the bottom of the hour.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Wanted to just mention Jen Hewlin over at Water's Edge Winery. It is just a great little place. It's a great place to get together with friends. And they've got a couple of things coming up for Valentine's Day. They've got a dinner on Saturday the 13th. It's a three-course dinner handcrafted by Chef D. And they're going to have savory and delicious bruschetta, followed by smoked quail over cauliflower mash, beet puree tucked into a nest of fried leeks, all followed by a scratch-made trio of mousse, and that's $45 per person. The wine and gratuities not included. And then at 7 p.m., they're going to have a Valentine's trivia contest with prizes. And so please RSVP, the number 720-381-6663. That's 720-381-6663. And then on Valentine's Day, on Sunday, they're going to have a Galentine's Day with all single ladies and any interested guys. And that's $20 per person and get you a glass of wine and then some other fun things they're going to be doing as well.
Wow.
So doesn't that, she's so creative. You know it?
Wow. That's all I can say.
I love it. We're going to be talking a lot about energy with Kathleen at the bottom of the hour. Something that I'm very concerned about, this is from Newsmax, and it says, Fauci sees vaccinations for kids by late spring or in the summer. And the way they've written it, he says, Fauci says it's a needed step to securing widespread immunity to the coronavirus. And he said, vaccines are not yet approved for children, and Fauci was looking ahead to a time that they will be plentiful. Even older adults are having difficulty getting shots at the moment. And he says, children represent about 1/4 of the population. And he says, for the U.S. to reach herd immunity or widespread resistance, about 70 to 85% of the population must be vaccinated. I am very, very concerned about this. As you know, I have been watching this vaccination legislation that has been proposed over the last few years here in Colorado, and we're seeing it's kind of a cut-and-paste legislation from California to Colorado, and then that gets pushed out. You'll see it Oregon, Washington. And we need to be very, very concerned about this, particularly with our children. We had Dr. James Lyons Weiler on yesterday, and we've been talking about that they have not gone through all the trials for this vaccination yet. And quite frankly, if people want to take the vaccine, they should have the freedom to do that. But if people want to step back and get more information or may want to say no to the vaccine, I think that in America, that is the way it's supposed to work. And the fact that Hank Aaron took the vaccine in early January and passed on in late January, I think should cause us to have some questions about this. And so I'm very concerned that Dr. Fauci is going to want to vaccinate children, because I don't think that we have enough information on that. And I'm concerned about forced vaccinations, that unless you have the vaccination, you will not be able to do X. It could be travel. I mean, you could take the word mask and insert the word vaccine in what we've been seeing from these health departments. And we need to really roll this back. I think that we need to stop and have some questions on this. There's good treatments for the coronavirus, and we will be talking with, I think, some of the doctors next week about that as well. And so I'm just very concerned about that. Steve, do you have any comments on that?
Well, more comments than we have time for, I guess. But I had a discussion yesterday with our friend Matt from KLTT next door, and because a certain, I probably shouldn't name, another talk show host was just railing that his choice of words was so misleading, that the vaccine itself was going to make the virus go away. And I am concerned, I have been since December, that the public in general doesn't have a good understanding of what this vaccine really does or is supposed to do. So it's the vaccine itself is just not going to magically make the virus disappear. The vaccine, given enough time, will build up a population whose immune system has been tricked up, you know, a little bit, if that's the right phraseology. Yeah, okay, that will happen given enough time. But the time factor, the methodologies employed, it all makes me scratch my head.
Well, I was listening to one of the other talk show, national talk show hosts yesterday, and I was astounded to hear that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services was actually running ads, and it kind of sounded to me like they were buying ads, and it was all starting to push towards a vaccine. And one of the ads was, it was a grandmother talking to her little grandchild and basically said, "Honey, for right now, we need to make sure that we social distance and we wear masks until we get the vaccine." And I'm thinking, this is so kind of the same message that I heard back during the Obama administration regarding trying to get people onto food stamps. And they were calling it the SNAP program. And it was two older ladies, and they were talking, and one said, "Oh, I just signed up for the SNAP program where I can have fresh fruits and vegetables, and it's really great, and it's free." And I'm thinking, this is kind of a propaganda campaign, and I don't see this ending well, Steve.
Well, noteworthy, in yesterday's package, as we all know, you know, as was promised by the Gov, he was going to push the healthcare workers and the first responders to the front of the line, which he did. You know, my daughter is a nurse out at what's the place up here?
Anschutz.
Anschutz. Thank you. See you. Well, anyway, regardless what the name is, and this article in yesterday's package from Patty says that there are many, roughly half the workers decided to skip the vaccine when it was offered, and I thought it noteworthy. The gentleman's name is Douglas Farmer. He's the CEO of Colorado Healthcare Association, which represents nursing and assisted living facilities around the state. And he is quoted as saying, "There was."
I know that you have it right there, and I bet that's Jason calling in here. Let me get to it as well.
Well, there was a reserve of folks that were saying, "Look, I'm not opposed to the vaccine, but this one, it was so fast, it was so politicized, I'm just not sure." So there's, you know, some people speaking their mind.
Well, and one has to ask from a property rights standpoint that, and this is what we're seeing with government being in I'm going to say collusion with big business. And if people are working for big businesses, then big business, do they really have the right to say to you that you have to do this in order to be employed here? And the other thing, dot that I want to connect, is that through this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, that big business basically, they stayed open, but public policy closed down many of our small businesses, our mid-sized businesses, where people would make the choice for themselves. And so there seems like there's this just kind of this collusion on, I think, taking away people's rights on their informed choice on whether or not to do this. And when government gets in the business of forcing you to do something, the other thing we have to mention is they have been basing this on modeling. Carl Dierenbach has done so much work on this, and they are basing this on modeling. And when we talk to Kathleen at the bottom of the hour, there's a CU professor who's also talking about the modeling on climate change. And the modeling gets them to the narrative that they can then push out the public policies that they want to push out. But the modeling is flawed. And so I think we have to ask, before we are injecting things into our body, we want to make sure that we have informed consent. If people want to take the vaccine, great. But if people want to get more information and want to make sure that they're using real science, not flawed modeling, in making these decisions, then I think that we should have the freedom to do that. Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management, what do you think?
Well, I certainly agree with you, Kim, and I think it's interesting, the media blitz and the narrative to try to get everybody to be comfortable with the vaccine. I've seen commercials with, of course, showing healthcare people, doctors and nurses, saying to take the vaccine. And then there's one line in there where they say the vaccine has been proven safe. And I'm thinking, how is that possible? It's only been out for a couple of weeks. They might think it's safe, but there haven't been any long-term tests on this whatsoever that would prove that it was safe. So I think you're right, Kim. There's a big narrative out there to get everybody to do what they want again, whether we want to or not.
And the question is why? And certainly this has to be paid for. And I don't know how much the vaccine is, but also the vaccine testing. That seems to be a bit of a industrial complex as well. So anyway, we're going to continue to talk about this and try to connect the dots. But you just asked one of those important questions is, how has it been proven safe when there hasn't been enough time to do that? But Jason, what's been going on with the market and what happened with GameStop yesterday?
All right. Well, GameStop got creamed yesterday. The stock ended up closing down under 100 for the first time since, I think, this whole thing started. So yesterday, the stock was down 135 points to close at 90. This morning, it looks like it's going to open a little bit lower as this, this big short sale deal kind of unwinds. And you've had shorts cover and some, additional shorts come in. I mean, how long can this pricing last on a company that's, losing money the last three quarters and is really just not, a strong company? So this was a technical move. I mean, it worked out well for those that got involved at the right time, but now it's kind of dying on the vine along with some of the others that also were part of that group. As far as the market, Kim, they had a good day yesterday. The Dow was up about 475. NASDAQ was up over 200. And there's reason that today could be a decent day as well, because we had some good earnings from Amazon, good earnings from Google, two of yours and my favorite companies, as you well know. But Jeff Bezos stepped aside as the CEO of Amazon, and he's taking on the role of executive chairman, which usually means less day-to-day interaction with the company. I'm sure he wants to have more time to spend with tremendous social justice and social engineering endeavors.
Yes, I'm really excited about that, Jason McBride. That is why, though, for your own economic well-being, you need to sit down with Jason McBride and put together your own plan for your own life. And people can reach you how, Jason?
Best way is to just do it old school and give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great one, Kim.
We will. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Kathleen Scamma. She is the president of Western Energy Alliance. And my gosh, Joe Biden has been very busy with his pen, and it is hurting everyday hardworking Americans. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Kathleen Scamma. She is the president of Western Energy Alliance. And Kathleen Scamma, I really like to have lights when I turn on the light switch, and I like to have heat in the winter and cool in the summer, and having the freedom of mobility to go where I want to when I want to. I love all the products that have petroleum in them, like my computer and my phone and skis and all kinds of things like that. And we're seeing a real assault on this with the Biden administration. So welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thanks for having me on, Kim. It's a pleasure.
Joe Biden was inaugurated just a few weeks ago, and he has gotten out his pen.
All circuits are busy. Please try your call again later.
And looks like we're having a technical difficulty. Kathleen, you still there? Okay, we'll try it again here. She'll be on in just a minute. Joe Biden got out his pen, and before he'd hardly even been in office, he had stopped the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline, actually putting many, many people, their jobs on hold or possibly out of work. And now he is talking, he has a 60-day ban on oil and gas drilling and permits on public lands, except he has carved out tribal lands, which is kind of interesting. And again, what this does for our energy independence, what this does for everyday hardworking people and how we live our lives. I think most people just want to live their lives and have government stay out of their business. They want to be able to take care of their families, enjoy their life when they get home from work. They actually enjoy probably cooking over their natural gas range. And those things look like they might be under assault. I think we have Kathleen back here. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Sorry about that.
Oh, it happens. It's live radio. Kathleen, you are the president of Western Energy Alliance. And reliable, affordable, efficient, and responsible energy has brought more people out of poverty. It's increased their quality of life. And we have seen here in America that we have been reducing our greenhouse gases in a very responsible manner in the oil and gas industry. But yet, when Joe Biden got into office, he stopped the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline, this new ban on drilling on federal lands. This is just almost beyond belief on what's happening. And I was thinking about our conversation when I was driving in today. And I'm just super concerned what this is going to do for everyday hardworking people.
Well, it is going to put 58,000 people out of work every year by the end of President Biden's first term. It's going to kill $33.5 billion in economic opportunity. And it's going to wipe out $8.3 billion in state tax revenues over his term. So this is a ban on just new leasing on federal lands. We were not surprised at all that he took this action. It was very clear from the campaign, and then certainly during the second debate when he promised to ban drilling and leasing on federal lands, we have been gearing up for this. And so as soon as he signed the order, we sued because he simply doesn't have the authority to do so. So, yes, it will kill jobs in the West, primarily where 97% or more of federal oil and natural gas takes place. And it's just not a good action when the country is trying to recover from COVID.
It seems almost cruel to me. I was talking to my researcher the other day, and she'd seen a welder who had been working on the Keystone Pipeline, had a good job, and basically got his pink slip within just a few days after Joe Biden stopped construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. And Joe Biden says, well, they can get a job in renewables. Well, yesterday we reported that the construction or the manufacturing of solar panels, most all of that is done in China. So how is that going to happen? I don't understand what he thinks where these jobs are going to come from that he's killing.
That's right. Oil and gas jobs, welders and other union pipe fitter jobs, they can just go and lay solar panels on people's rooftops, forget that it's not as high paying. And coal miners can go learn how to code. You know, it's a ridiculous premise. Now, killing jobs in the oil and natural gas industry is not going to create jobs in the renewable one, because renewables don't do everything that oil and natural gas do. So when we kill American jobs in oil and natural gas, all we're saying is that we want to import that energy from overseas, and therefore we export those jobs. Now, certainly, there are good jobs in the wind and the solar industry, but those that are available now can be filled by other people that are already unemployed or others, you know, wishing to get into that line of work. But it's not like killing American production suddenly makes renewable jobs pop up. That's just not how the economy works, and that's not how our energy works, because we get 70% of our energy in America from oil and natural gas. Wind and solar, despite decades of government subsidies, don't fill the same energy needs that oil and natural gas does. So therefore, it's just not a simple, oh, we can just have the coal miners learn how to code and the oil and gas welders and pipe fitters and drillers, they can just all learn how to, you know.
All circuits are busy. Please try your call again later.
Okay, it looks like we had another technical difficulty there with Kathleen. Not quite sure what's going on with that. But while we're getting her back on the line, I'm just thinking about John Kerry and all of his jetting around regarding talking about climate change. I think first and foremost, he should start to put his jet on power it by wind and solar. And once he gets that done and starts to use that as his energy source for his airplane, then maybe we can have a conversation about getting rid of fossil fuels, which I'm saying that facetiously, because fossil fuels are the things that have actually brought more people out of poverty. They've increased the quality of life of everyday hardworking people. And you see, there's no other country in the world where we have people wanting to come here to improve their quality of life. And again, I think many times we forget all of the different products that have petroleum-based products in them, like our computers and our phones and much of our clothing and the things that we like to do, to ski or to kayak, or all of these things have petroleum in the in their manufacturing. And so one has to ask why. Why is there such a war on fossil fuels? Before we get Kathleen back on the line, Patty had found this piece. This was in Complete Colorado. And it says, the CU professor says much of climate research is untethered from the real world. And he cites the misuse of scenarios. And it says President Biden recently, we know this, signed a sweeping executive order aimed at what the White House calls a profound climate crisis. As Biden's unilateral exercise of authority notes, he says there's little time left to avoid setting the world on a dangerous, potentially catastrophic climate trajectory. Now, I also want to mention to all of you, don't you remember that the climate does change? And then we also have things that are called weather. There was a time that Colorado was a rainforest, a tropical rainforest. And then there was a time that during the Ice Age that we had woolly mammoths that were walking here in Colorado. So what is this perfect temperature that all the climatologists want us to get to? But Professor Roger Pilkey at CU, University of Colorado Department of Environmental Studies, says that basically a lot of this climate change rhetoric is based on outdated science. Kathleen Scamma, that really concerns me that there's a narrative out there to shut down the oil and gas industry, but it's based on a false narrative. What's your thoughts on that, Kathleen? Okay. You know what, Steve? I think let's go to break. And when we come back, we're going to see if we can get the technical difficulties figured out with Kathleen Scamma, who is the president of Western Energy Alliance. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you are a collector or you are a chef or you're a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool has the right knife for you so that you can get the job done. I would highly recommend that you check out their website. That's castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Kathleen Scamma.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Kathleen Scamma, president of Western Energy Alliance. I had mentioned, as we were having some technical difficulties here, that CU professor Roger Pilkey has said that a lot of the narrative out there regarding climate research is basically based on, it's flawed data. Let me just put it that way. But yet it's a narrative that's being pushed out there that is then being used to make these decisions regarding shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline or this ban on new drilling permits on federal land. I'm a bit concerned about that this narrative is actually probably not totally based on science. What's your thoughts on that, Kathleen?
You know, I'm glad you're familiar with Professor Pilkey's work, because he's very concerned about climate change, as many of us are. We need to do something to address climate change, but the alarmism about it and the hyperbole is causing bad policy. It's causing a lot of stress in people, because some people actually believe the world is going away in 10 years. I mean, you know, religions used to be, you know, ancient religions used to believe that, too. Every 40 years, you know, the world was going to go away. So people actually believe that. But Professor Pilkey and other reasonable people in academia and elsewhere, when they actually look at the science from the IPCC, which is supposed to be the gold standard of climate science, they realize, you know, it's an issue to address, but it is not this, the sky is falling. It's not 10 years from now we're all going away. So when climate proposals are put in place that are very extreme, it doesn't help solve the problem, and it creates a lot of extra churn and bad policy making and a lot of extra expense on the taxpayer that is really not efficient to solve the problem. So, for example, natural gas is number one reason the United States has reduced more greenhouse gas emissions than any other reason in the United States. And that is because increased use of natural gas in the electricity sector is actually displacing more carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions than wind and solar energy combined. And we in the natural gas industry have done that by delivering an affordable, abundant supply of natural gas that makes electricity generation cheaper. And so that's why we've won in the marketplace with natural gas. As we increase electricity generation from natural gas, we displace greenhouse gas emissions, and we do it more efficiently at a lower cost without government subsidies than wind and solar do. Now, wind and solar are part of the mix, but they're not even delivering as much greenhouse gas reduction as natural gas is. So we're very proud of that record. But President Biden and others on the left just don't even want to acknowledge that contribution. They just want to say all fossil fuels are bad. We need to get rid of them by 2035 or pick a year when he's out of office and won't be held accountable for it. We want to pick a year and say it's all going to go away. Now, thankfully, we experienced this at the start of the Obama administration. People forget, but at the start of the Obama administration, oil and natural gas was going to be gone in 10 years and all renewables would take over. It was an unrealistic goal then. It's an unrealistic goal now. Obviously, that didn't happen despite billions of dollars in subsidies to the renewable industry. And, you know, we're seeing that same cycle again with the Biden administration, the same, but the rhetoric is hotter now. You know, the rhetoric is more, oh, the world's ending in 12 years, says AOC and others. Well, you know, that's not what the science says. So let's all, you know, address this problem in a rational way, and let's recognize the contribution that natural gas makes in being part of that energy mix. Because really, any reliable, realistic energy projection to the year 2050 shows oil and gas continuing to increase in use all across the globe, because India and China, they have rising populations, becoming more prosperous. They want mobility. They want to be able to drive. They want to be able to heat and cool their homes just like we do. And the best way to do that is with the energy that lifts people out of poverty, not starving these developing countries from energy, as some would like to, but recognizing that the benefits from oil and natural gas far outweigh the impact, and we can manage the impact. And so that's why energy use from oil and natural gas will continue to grow, as will renewable energy grow, out to 2050.
Well, one other thing, Kathleen, a point I'd like to make is this narrative that basically tries to say that oil and gas bad, renewables good. Renewables, actually, there's rare earth minerals that have to be mined in third world countries for much of the renewables, the electric batteries for these electric cars. And so there's not this honest conversation that is going on, because there's always benefits and there's also costs to different things. But as you've mentioned, in the fossil fuel industry, it's continued here in America to become cleaner and cleaner and innovative, and just all the creation that happens in this industry, and people's lives have gotten better because of it. And when we have affordable, reliable, efficient, and responsible energy, people thrive and prosper. And I can't for the life of me figure out politicians and bureaucrats that want to take away via public policy this thing that makes our lives better. I don't quite understand it. And then the other thing I always like to mention from a geopolitical standpoint, when America is energy independent, that makes us stronger. It protects our young people from having to go fight wars as well. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons that we should support reliable, efficient, responsible, and abundant energy instead of what's happening with the Biden administration, Kathleen.
That's right. And there is a false narrative about energy out there that wind and solar can replace oil and natural gas. It's only a matter of public will. You will hear that all the time. I was recently on an interview, and the head of the energy office here in Colorado made that point. You know, it's only a matter of political will, and we can go 100% renewables. Well, that's not correct from a physics point of view, a thermodynamics point of view, a cost point of view. It's just simply not true, and the fact that we don't have enough rare earth minerals to make all the battery storage and renewables to actually power 100% of our energy use. That would be cost prohibitive, and it's unlikely that, you know, because we're getting most of those minerals from China, that that would be possible. There is a fellow out of Manhattan Institute in New York, Mark Mathis, who's done great work on all of the mining that would have to occur for us to go 100% renewables or even, you know, increase renewables, because they require so much mining. And because we don't see that economic, we don't see that environmental impact here, it's over in China or it's in Africa under just appalling conditions, mm-hmm. with no environmental controls. We don't see that here, so we can pretend that wind and solar are completely clean and have no impact. Every energy source has impact. We are held accountable in the United States. We're very proud that we have met every legitimate environmental challenge that we have faced. We continue to reduce emissions. We continue to reduce water use. We continue to shrink the footprint on the land. Every legitimate environmental issue we tackle and address by innovation. And we also operate under very strict environmental regulations and controls. So it's better to produce that energy here where the jobs stay here in the United States than import it from other countries that are not as environmentally responsible.
Well, and one other thing that we haven't mentioned yet, and that is the tax revenue that is generated by the oil and gas industry. Here in Colorado alone, Biden's actions could cost Colorado school children up to $60 million in education funding. And education is something that's very important to families and communities. And where's that money going to come from? And I think that's important to highlight that as well.
Absolutely. Just by the one action alone of banning leasing on federal lands, and mind you, federal lands development in Colorado is a smaller portion of our production here than it is in states like New Mexico and Wyoming that have a very large portion of production on federal lands. But even in Colorado, by the end of the Biden term, banning leasing results in $428 million in lost revenue. That's revenue for schools, as you mentioned, revenues for roads, public health, other services that are vital to sustaining life here in Colorado. So, you know, this is not a cost-free policy. It's asking states like Colorado to make sacrifices in terms of jobs and revenue for the state. And I don't think President Biden is thinking of those impacts. I think he's also forgetting that the oil and natural gas industry provides almost 100% of the conservation money for natural national parks and wilderness areas and other public lands all across the West. We fund to the tune of about $2.2 billion every year, potentially, if there are leasing and royalty revenue from the industry. Up to $2.2 billion goes into conservation from our industry. By restricting that development on federal lands and waters, he's putting at risk $2.2 billion every year in conservation funding. I don't think the president's thinking about that either.
Yeah, so we only have a couple of minutes left, Kathleen. You said that you have, Western Energy Alliance has sued. What do you think? Where's this going to end? How's this going to work out?
Well, we feel really good about our chances in court. We sued in the District for Wyoming because Wyoming has the most federal leased acreage in the country. So that seems like an appropriate venue. And We sued immediately because we're just not going to sit idly by while a president takes an unlawful action. He's required by the Mineral Leasing Act, which has been on the books, passed by Congress for several decades. He can't simply ignore a requirement in the law that says the Interior Department shall hold quarterly lease sales in all oil and natural gas states. So we feel really good about our chances in court. The law is really clear. And hopefully we can get this executive order overturned and get back to business.
Well, for sure. And Kathleen Scamma, I really like lights when I turn on the switch, and I like driving around in my car, and I like heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer and all these great things that and the many products. I recommend that people just do a search for all the products that have petroleum in them, and it makes our lives better. So Kathleen Scamma, we got about 30 seconds. Is there anything that we everyday people should be doing?
Well, I think just staying engaged and understanding that this is a wave, or this is kind of a cycle. A new administration comes in, they have high hopes, they want to get their agenda done, and presidents often, you know, try to shortcut things and just do the executive orders. But remember that the election was very balanced all across the country. We have a sharp divide, we're pretty much a 50-50 nation. And so ultimately, those moderate policies will prevail just because that's what the voters are telling the politicians. And so, you kind of ride this wave of radical policies, but moderation will prevail in reality, because no politician is really going to tell people they can't drive or heat their home. They won't last in office very long.
Okay. Hey, Kathleen Scamma, let's stay in touch. She is the president of Western Energy Alliance. Greatly appreciate the conversation.
Thanks so much, Kim, for having me on today.
You bet. And our quote for today is from Mark Twain. He said, "We are called the nation of inventors," and we are. We could still claim that title and wear its loftiest honors if we had stopped with the first thing we ever invented, which was human liberty. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You are not alone, my friends. God bless you, and God bless America.
I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.